leaders meeting with eulogists and religious poets. On Thursday, 12th of January 2023, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with a number of eulogists, elegists, and religious poets at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyah in Tehran. The meeting took place just one day before the anniversary of the birth of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. In this program, we discuss the leader's speech and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. On Thursday, 12th of January, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with a number of eulogists, elegists, and religious poets. In Shia Islam, elegists are authors of mournful poems lamenting the martyrdom or passing away of members of Prophet Muhammad's household, the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, and also lamenting the pain and suffering of this household, peace be upon them. Eulogists, on the other hand, are individuals who give speeches or recite poems containing great praise and reverence for members of Prophet Muhammad's household, the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. In Shia mourning ceremonies, eulogistic tributes and lamentations for the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, are very common. The philosophy behind elegy and eulogy is to promote kindness and goodness and virtue throughout society. Commenting on the subject of elegies and eulogies, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Elegies and eulogies are part of our heritage. It is heritage of the Shia Muslims. You elegists have come and turned it into a complex and hybrid art form. Today, elegies and eulogies are a form of hybrid art. It is art, or in other words, it is beautiful. Art is something beautiful after all. It is both beautiful and it creates beauty. You have combined several art forms together, the sum of which results in an elegy or a eulogy. A pleasant voice, this is the first art. The second art is good poetry, and a third art is a good melody. In addition, you need a good theme and good content, because having a good poem is one thing, but it is another thing to have good content. A poem may be very good, but still lack a rich content, or it may contain flaws." Turning to the beauty of Shiite religious texts, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "I believe we have been holding these kinds of meetings for the past 40 years now, and when I look at these now, compared to earlier years, the work that is being done is much more advanced and better in terms of the types of elegies and poetry that is recited now. There is no doubt about this. However, I would like to draw your attention to some matters. What you are doing is a form of hybrid art, and art is beauty. We know this from our religious texts including the Holy Quran, the Nahjul Balagha, the Sahifa Sajjadiyya, and many of our supplications. Regarding the Holy Quran, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, states in the Nahjul Balagha, Sermon 18, it has a truly wonderful appearance. Wonderful here does not imply that it is just beautiful. It is stunningly beautiful. It has a wonderful appearance. That is how the Holy Quran is. It is second to none in terms of its beauty and in terms of its art." Turning to Arabic poetry, the leader said, "Almost all of the best Arabic poems, the sweetest and the most beautiful and eloquent Arabic poems, belong to the age of ignorance. Those poets were alive when the Holy Quran was revealed to the Holy Prophet, but none of them were able to find even a minute fault or flaw in the Quran, or claim that they could recite anything similar to it. It has been stated in numerous places in the Holy Quran, 'Then bring a chapter like it.' They were not able to produce even one verse similar to the verses of the Holy Quran." Turning to religious texts, the leader said, "The Nahj al-Balagha possesses the utmost magnificence, logic and beauty. The same applies to the Sahifa Sajjadiyya, the Abu Hamza Thumali supplication, Imam Hussein's supplication on the day of Arafah, and various other supplications. They're all incredibly beautiful." The leader added, "Your art is a continuation of this art. This art can be said to be comprehensive when all of its parts are beautiful. It is not enough for just its appearance to be beautiful, the content must also be beautiful. As it says in the Nahj al-Balagha, Sermon 18, the Holy Quran has a wonderful appearance, and inside it is deep in meaning. I, of course, do not expect you to presume that you can produce something similar to it. No, but this is what you should have in mind, that is, the appearance should be beautiful, and the core needs to be filled with meaningful content and logic." Commenting on the art of a good elegy or eulogy, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "In addition to gaining understanding in elegies, there is also a stirring of emotions. This is also an important point. There is gaining understanding. This means that you are teaching people with the poems that you are reciting. Many of the things we learn are from the elegies that elegists recite, things that we have already told others many times in simple language. But when the elegist or eulogist recites the same thing with a good voice and a good melody, it is as though we are hearing, understanding and learning something new. It increases people's understanding, of course, as a continuation of a program after a sermon. An elegy is not the same as a sermon. It has a different nature and a different reality. It gives understanding and it stirs emotions." We must not underestimate the emotional factors involved here. One characteristic that we, as Shia Muslims, have is that emotions are embedded in our teachings and impart understanding from the beginning to the end. There is an accumulation of emotions. This is less in others. Our lamentations, our elegies, our supplications and ziyarats are filled with emotions and stir emotions. Of course, the presence of emotions is not beneficial in the absence of reasoning. The good thing about imparting understanding in the Shia Muslim text is that, in addition to stirring emotions, it also gives people a depth of understanding. This is a feature that I have not seen in the non-Shia. That is, as far as I know, I have not seen it elsewhere. Of course, each one of these different religions, Islamic and non-Islamic, have certain attributes, but the culmination of attributes belongs to Shia Muslims. Turning to the role of elegists and eulogists during 8 years of sacred defense, the leader said, "While these emotional states have also aided the country at sensitive times, one being during the Holy Defense era. During that time, it was the elegists, the poets and the eulogists, these good poets who were truly able to prepare the atmosphere for the great epic event. I have read this verse of a poem many times before." We warm the devout and the faithful with the sharpness of our words. We strike the butterfly like the flame of a candle does. This describes your situation. We strike the butterfly like the flame of a candle does. Elegies played a great role in preparing the hearts and increasing the spirituality of the environment when sending our forces into the front lines during 8 years of sacred defense. Under nights of military operations, during the military drills at dawn, during the burial and funeral processions of the martyrs, in mosques and in Hosseinias, on the battlefield and elsewhere. The holiness that was prevalent on the war fronts during the Holy Defense era was unprecedented and has never occurred anywhere in the world at any time in history apart from the early days of Islam. A major part of it was related to the elegies and eulogies, and another part of it was related to other factors. It has been the same in the years after the war and up until today. Elegies and eulogies have played a great role in various situations, particularly during the sedition of 2009. The massive rallies and marches on 30th of December of 2009, and on various other occasions. I'm repeating these things for you so that as elegists and eulogists you can understand your position, what you are doing and what you are capable of doing. This is my intention, thank God. There are many of you present here today. Commenting on the recent riots, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Consider the recent events. I would like to say something about them. Regarding the recent riots, the enemy's plot was comprehensive, but their calculations were wrong." This is important. The enemy's plot had no faults. However, the calculations they had made for implementing these plots were wrong. When we say that the enemy's plot was comprehensive, we're saying that all the major factors that a world power can use to disrupt and destroy a country, all of these elements, all of these factors were used. They lined up all of these elements. There was an economic dimension to this as well. Of course, the economic situation in the country was not good, and is still not good today. People's economic problems allowed the enemies to make use of this factor. Other factors included security factors, infiltrations, and espionage teams from all sides. There was an uproar of Iranophobia in the world. They began promoting Iranophobia in different forms in the months leading up to the unrest and rioting, using the propaganda tools at their disposal. The United States, the Zionists, and the global arrogance in general. Iranophobia, this is another factor. Rallying support from certain individuals inside the country began a while ago as well. This is another important factor. They provoked unrest using various motives in the country, including ethnic, religious, political, and personal motives. Deciding to betray the country because of petty things such as, "Why didn't you greet me properly?" or "Why didn't you give me such and such?" There was also element of widespread propaganda, such as television and satellite channels, social media, and the internet. These are all factors that the enemy had lined up. As a person who views, monitors, and understands these issues, in my heart, I thought, how well has the enemy engineered this? It was well engineered. They had prepared everything in the right place and in the right amount. So, why didn't they succeed? Because one of the enemy's bases, the calculations it made, was wrong. Yes, the things that they were all very important and effective, and they do have an impact on certain countries. However, they were unsuccessful here. This is because the miscalculations that they had made about Islamic Iran. I will give two or three examples of the enemy's miscalculations. I have briefly mentioned some of these. They imagined that because of the economic problems that exist in the country, the Iranian nation would cooperate with the enemy's plots and subversion and separatism. But this was a definite miscalculation. They imagined that by using foul language and insults, they would be able to take the country's officials out of the picture and make them assume a passive role. They thought that they could create difference of opinion among high-level officials within the country. They hoped that one side would say, let's do such and such a thing, and the other side would oppose this, pitting officials effectively against one another. This, of course, is a problem which exists in the United States itself. It exists in the Zionist regime of Israel. It exists in some other countries as well. These differences prevent them from getting big things done. They imagined that they could create such differences here. This was part of their miscalculation. They imagined that by using petrodollars of a mercenary country of the United States, they could weaken the Islamic Republic's determination. But they were wrong, of course, because the will and determination of the Islamic Republic was stronger and more forceful. Their calculations were all wrong. They imagined that by inciting some mercenary elements to seek asylum in another country and by encouraging them to smear this country, our youth, our young people would become discouraged. But they were wrong, of course. Some went there, became refugees, and they also smeared Iran, but no one paid any attention to this smearing. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei went on to emphasize that hope and unity would keep together the Islamic Republic of Iran, and that these two factors are extremely important. In his concluding remarks, the leader wished success and prosperity on all the audience present.